exalting God in the way you live, exalting God in the decisions that you make, exalting God in the relationships that you have, exalting God in the vision and the purpose and the direction of your leadership.
I just wed you. That means you're invited to church on Sunday.
The only limit that you have is your ability to receive.
Only God could take something old and turn it into something new.
You need the pep talk from Pastor Wayne. You can do it. Come on, man. We're going to live for God. It's going to be amazing.
You hang 10 toes up the front of your board, and I'm centered on Christ even though my situation is not.
We're in for a ride.
All right, everybody, welcome to the Wayne Feeds Daily Podcast. It is day number two, or episode number two. Today, I am Pastor Wayne Hansen, Dr. Wayne Hansen from Summit Church of Castle Rock and Wayne Feeds and of various bands and music and production in years gone by. With me today, if you're on Facebook Live, you'll be able to see him. If you're on the other camera, you can't see him right now, but I'll turn it towards him during the interview. It's Pastor Tyler Ackert, who is recently licensed as a pastor at our church.
Yes,
so,
sir. Yes,
man,
sir.
So glad that you're with us today. And without any further ado, I'm going to promote the Voltage Youth Group, which meets tonight at my house at 3311 Belgian Court, right here in Castle Rock.
Yes, sir.
80104. So if you're in Castle Rock, you have a teenager, you know a teenager, you want to work with teenagers. Tyler, tell me why young people are so important. Why do we need to work with teenagers?
Well, I just remember being in their shoes when I was back in, fifth to sixth grade. I didn't make a lot of friends when I was younger. I was a little nervous to get out, but I remember there was one guy that came up to me, and when he started talking to me, I started to realize how important I was, how much God loved me, and how much I was valued. And so if I can just do that for one kid, being a youth pastor, then that's what I want to do, because I want to make them feel that way. I want them to know that God loves them. I want them to know that they have value and that they're worth something. And so really just completing the circle, just making it full circle, and just really loving on kids and letting them know that they do have somebody that's they do have a friend. They do have somebody that cares for them, not just me, but in God as well. So
that's awesome. So what do you have planned tonight? What's going to happen to Voltage tonight?
So tonight we do a message, and tonight our series is My Story. And I gave my testimony last week, and we had a great time. We do worship. We have great food. We're getting pizza again tonight, and it's going to be awesome. My fiance Heather is actually giving her testimony tonight. So we're super excited about that and super excited to see what she has in store for us tonight.
That's awesome, man. So glad that you're on the team and that you're part of what we're doing, and you're super cool. And so we're going to talk more. We're going to have an interview here at the end of the podcast, but I want to mention one of our sponsors today is thecoolcarguy.com here of Castle Rock. John Boyd, the purveyor of cool cars. He's not your traditional car dealer. He doesn't have a car lot. He has just, I would call him the car hunter. He's like the car Rambo. I don't know what you would call him. He's super cool. But coolcarguy.com is a unique automotive boutique that assists clients in buying, selling, trading, and consigning and leasing vehicles. The dealership experience of coolcarguy.com centers around creating relationships with cool people and cool cars. In fact, he just set up my buddy Zach Morris with Plum Creek Funding with one of the most crazy, amazing 4x4 lift kit trucks I've ever seen in my life. He can put two dirt bikes in the back. He just did a whole thing at Moab last weekend. My iTunes keeps starting randomly, so it's so weird. But yeah, he has cool cars and he connects with cool people. So this business is most exclusively repeat and referral. So the automotive boutique is designed for busy professionals and executives who don't have the time to waste running from dealership to dealership looking for a vehicle of their own, or even messing with leases. He'll help you negotiate whether it's a purchase or a lease. They're the opposite of a more traditional car dealership that most people want to avoid. They're the people who really like the experience of haggling with the car salesman. I hate haggling with people, but John Boyd loves the haggling experience. Most of the cool car guy clients don't want someone else to They want someone else to handle everything for them and start from start to finish. And John Boyd has done that. He's done that actually for us twice in our family. My wife had a Suzuki XL7, and now she has an Infiniti, and she loves both of them. And we got both of them through John Boyd at the Cool Car Guy. You don't want to mess with anything else. Don't go to the dealership. Call John Boyd. Go to coolcarguy.com. He'll treat you right. And he's a Christian guy. He's a man of faith. You don't want to mess with anything else. So I just picked up the most recent copy of Time Magazine, a Time Special Edition, and it's a one-word title, simply said, Marijuana, the Medical Movement. Hey, by the way, we're in Colorado. Did you know that? Some of you watching online, most of you watching online, a lot of you here in Castle Rock, you know we live in Colorado. Marijuana has had a profound effect on what's happening here in our culture. And there's a little history of cannabis. Let me just read this history of cannabis for you. 10,000 BC, cannabis grows in that area that is now known as Mongolia. 2,700 years ago, a shaman is buried in China's Yangzhai tombs, along with nearly 2 pounds of cannabis. 2 pounds, like an ounce is a bowl. But anyway, so 2 pounds of cannabis with this burial site in China. In 1842, William O'Shaughnessy's clinical trials of cannabis find that it's an effective muscle relaxant and anti-convulsive. From the 1840s to the 1930s, they show that it's helpful for pain, bronchitis, venereal disease, and postpartum depression. In the 1930s, the federal government puts out what I would call a propaganda piece called Reefer Madness, where everyone is going nuts because they're smoking weed. In 1964, Israeli doctors isolate and synthesize tetrahydrocannabinol, THC, marijuana's main psychoactive ingredient. In 1970, Richard Nixon's Attorney General John Mitchell temporarily categorizes marijuana as a Schedule I drug, and it has been federally ever since. 1975, THC successfully reduces chemotherapy-related nausea and vomiting in cancer patients. In 76, the first legal medical marijuana smoker since 1937 is approved. In 1985, the man-made single-molecule drug causes side effects and doesn't work as well as cannabis. 1992, the system is dubbed anandamide, the Sanskrit word for bliss. So these researchers figure out that cannabinoids are attached to the same receptors in the brain that create a sense of happiness and well-being. 1996, California approves Proposition 215, making it the first state to legalize cannabis for medical purposes. In 97, the government ignores it. In the year 2000, where they initiated the first therapeutic studies using smoked cannabis in more than 20 years. 2003, the U.S. government receives a patent for the therapeutic use of cannabinoids as antioxidants and neuroprotectorants. And then in 2017, West Virginia becomes the 29th state to legalize medical marijuana. And then right now, 2018, Attorney General Jeff Sessions rescinds the Obama-era policy barring federal law enforcement officials from interfering with marijuana sales in states that have legalized the drug. So in other words, the feds may be coming right here to Colorado to bust everybody. And that would mean a whole lot of different things for people who are in the weed business here in Colorado. I have a lot of people with a lot of opinions about both Christian and non-Christian. I'm a musician and a Christian, and which makes it pretty complicated sometimes because I smoked my fair amount of weed before I really kind of came around to Christ. And yet I have friends that have debilitating diseases like cancer and MS. And diseases where when you take cannabinoids, it seems to lessen the pain, it enhances sleep, it helps you feel better, it enhances a sense of euphoria, it can increase appetite for people who normally who wouldn't want to eat because they're feeling so ill and sick. So I understand where marijuana has a checkered past. And it's for us as Christians, I don't think we could take a biblical stance because the Bible never even actually uses the word marijuana. The only thing that we could talk about, I guess, is be sober-minded. You know, don't be controlled by anything, but, you know, let everything you do be submitted under Christ or come under the authority of Christ. What are your thoughts, Tyler? I mean, we got you here on Facebook Live. What are your thoughts on cannabinoids and marijuana and all that stuff here in Colorado?
Well, as a young person living in Colorado right now, that's a huge thing that me and my friends have been dealing with. And I think that you hit it right on the head of kind of where I'm at is, you know, everything is under the Lord and be of sober mind. And it's the same thing as alcohol. Are you gonna drink till you can't see straight and you pass out? Or are you gonna control everything? I think there are things that are good in controlled circumstances, but when you start to do them in excess and they start to run your life, I think that's where you start to fall into some major moral and sin issues.
Yeah, totally. And I think when I think about the mistakes I've made in my life or where I've let things go too far, it's when I was either high or I was drunk,
right?
Where I was sleepy or tired, where I wasn't thinking straight, my inhibitions were down, and I did something I shouldn't have done. I said something I shouldn't have said. And so I think so much about being sober-minded is being self-controlled, and that is one of the fruits of the Holy Spirit,
right.
Rob. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, goodness and self-control, right? Did I get all nine of them? I'm not sure. I've got close. but self-control is definitely one of the nine fruits of the Holy Spirit. Mm-hmm. And so, yeah, this whole thing about marijuana and weed in our state causes us to think a lot about, you know, what does it mean to be sober? And what kind of state do we want to have? You know, that's the beauty of being in America right now, in a country that's 200 years old, not thousands of years old. Like most of these European countries have been around for thousands of years. We've only been around for 200 years. We get to make this country the way we want it. And do I want my state to be filled with potheads? Probably not. You know, do I want my state to be filled with people who are balanced and healthy, making wise decisions? Yeah. Do I want sick people to get medicine? For sure. Mm-hmm. If I ever have a debilitating disease like leukemia, I would think I might want to use cannabis if it's an effective treatment.
Absolutely.
And so I think it's up to the conscience of the person. And so I guess maybe that's kind of a libertarian view, but it's so important. So, hey, it's time for our next segment, everybody. We're going to get into the next segment. All right, today's segment is about John the Baptist. I'm talking about the passion that John the Baptist had and the 21 qualities, and I'm reading this out of the John Maxwell Leadership Bible. I really encourage you, if you've never read anything by John Maxwell, if you don't have a Bible, maybe a good Bible to read. If you're a business owner or if you want to try to lead people well, if you want to become a leader, a person of influence, grab the John Maxwell Leadership Bible. But the 21 qualities, one of these 21 qualities is passion. And John the Baptist served God with a gusto. And John the Baptist was a cousin of Jesus, and he had certain qualities that made people want to follow him. When you think about what would cause you to want to walk 30 miles out into the desert, or even ride a little donkey 30 miles out into the desert to see a man baptizing someone in a muddy river and preaching a sermon, that would have to be a pretty dynamic sermon. It had to be a pretty dynamic message. And that was what was happening. People were walking past this Death Valley, past Jericho, down to the Jordan River to listen to this crazy guy talk about repent, for the kingdom of God is at hand. He grew his hair out. He was a Nazarite. He fasted and he prayed. He wore camel's hair. He ate locusts and honey. And he was the one who pointed the road to Jesus. He said, behold, the Son, the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. And John the Baptist served God with gusto. And so we want to have the same kind of qualities that cause people to want to follow John. We want to have those kind of qualities. The common folk often viewed him as eccentric, but their passion, his passion attracted pioneers. And so what gave John his passion? Well, there's several qualities. Number one, he spent time in solitude. He spent time reflecting on life and who he was. Before John began his public ministry, he lived in the wilderness and spent much time with God. He boiled with the presence of God and could hardly stay quiet. Number two, he felt consumed with his mission. John knew of Jesus' identity and his soon advent. John urgently tried to prepare the way for Jesus. Number three, he possessed a magnetic temperament and wiring. There was something about John that you could even see in what he says and how he says it. He doesn't care about what people think about him. He just says it. And he knows what he means to say. He knows what God is telling him to say, and he just simply says it. John is described as a voice crying out in the wilderness. He's an exhorter. He's a magnet. He repelled some, and he attracted others. He was a divider. You could not be neutral about John the Baptist. Number four, he possessed a strong sense of justice. When people asked John what they should do, he told them to do justice, love mercy, walk humbly with your God. This hunger for justice drove him. He wouldn't sit still until he saw results. Number five, he saw things as black and white. Repent, right? You know, turn to God. It's not a like, oh, maybe to kind of turn to God. No, turn to God. Make your decision. Who are you going to stand with? And that we see that John is coming in the line of a lot of prophets in the Old Testament in that same way. John felt dissatisfied with anything but action. He was a doer. He didn't want people to merely talk about repentance and faith. He said, come to the water, be baptized, have your sins washed away through repentance, turn to God and live. And of course, when Jesus came, Jesus had that same message of repent, for the kingdom of God is at hand. So how can you increase your passion? As you think about, how can I become a passionate person? How can I be a person of passion that changes the world? First of all, take your own temperature. Are you a passionate person? What are you passionate about? Get honest with yourself. You know, talk to your coworkers, talk to your family members. Maybe even ask them, what is it that I'm excited about? What am I passionate about? Number two, return to your first love. Maybe there's something that years ago you were excited about, but somehow that excitement has faded and it's waned, it's gone away. What's gotten you off track? And thirdly, associate with other people who are passionate. That's why I like Tyler. Tyler has a passion for worship. He has a passion for teenagers. He has a passion to be used by God. He has a passion to answer God's call. And so these qualities of passion is what's going to carry you. It's going to carry you in business. It's going to carry you in your marriage, in ministry, in any area that you go in life. And so I hope you take those moments, those words of inspiration, and just own them as we talk about it today. Once again, I want to talk about my friend John Boyd at the Cool Car Guy, because I always do two spots in the podcast today. He doesn't have math, so you're not going to see a big inventory at the Cool Car Guy. It's like big box, not like a big box dealership or an online retailer. Most of the Cool Car Guy clients contact us about a specific vehicle that they're interested in, rather than being sold a vehicle they don't really want. Get the vehicle you really want at the price you want and can afford. Alternative financing. You can make, any model, any price available through unique sources. You can source the right vehicle that fits your personality and your needs. There's access to hundreds and thousands of vehicles from many sources, including exclusive nationwide dealer auctions, rental fleets, and both new and used car dealerships and inventories. Good job. All right. So, it's time for the song of the day. One of my favorite punk rock bands in the 90s was a band called Green Day. And Tyler and I worked out this song beforehand. And it's called Time of Your Life. And if you want to sing along with me, I know many of you know this song. And it's one of my favorites.
Another turning point, a fork stuck in the road. Time grabs you by the wrist, directs you where to go. So make the best of this test and don't ask why. It's not a question but a lesson learned in time. It's something unpredictable, in the end is right. Hope you had the time of your life. So take the photographs and still frames in your mind, hanging on a shelf in good health and good time. Tattoos of memories and dead skin on trial, for when it's worth, it was worth all the while. It's something unpredictable, in the end is right. Hope you had the time. In the end is right. Hope you had the time of your life.
Nice. All right, everybody. That was the song of the day. It is time to talk. All right, Mr. Tyler, you are my first interview of all time on the Wayne Feeds Daily Podcast. We've only had two podcasts. We've only had two episodes. But I want to get to know you a little bit. And I'm sure the people out there want to know you a little bit more too. Tell Absolutely. Us a little about, where did you grow up? How, why did you become a youth pastor? You're a musician, you're a preacher, you're like, you got a lot going on, man. Who are you? What's going on?
Yeah, it was super crazy. So I'm actually a military brat. My mom's first husband was in the military, and so we moved around a lot. I was actually born overseas in Japan and moved over here. I'm adopted, and so I've always been in American culture. I've never been outside of or lived outside of American culture for very long. So I grew up in the States, just bouncing around a lot. But I guess kind of my story of how I became at least a musician, I have been playing piano for almost 18 years, 19 years. And there was an opportunity at my church my freshman year of high school to join the youth band. And I kind of shirked it off and didn't want to have anything to do with that. I wanted to be a concert pianist. I had an idea of what I wanted to do with my life. And so sign-ups that day, my mom had suggested that I sign up for these worship tryouts. And I had kind of said no and walked away from it. And all of a sudden, next day, I get an email saying, thanks for signing up. And I realized that she had signed me up without my knowledge. And so thanks, Mom, for doing that, because that really changed my life. And so she said, if you don't like it in 2 weeks, feel free to drop out. But if you enjoy it, then you found a new passion, as you were saying. And so I did it for 2 weeks and realized that's where God was calling me. And then sophomore year of high school, I changed my studies from wanting to become a concert pianist and I guess bringing glory to myself in a way that I had been called to ministry. And instead, I chose to bring glory to God. And that's something that I never regret doing. I love the ministry atmosphere. I love working with people and, you know, all in all, just giving praise to the Creator that deserves our praise, you know?
That's awesome. One of the most exciting things that have happened in your life, obviously, and people love, you know what I mean? Love songs are the biggest selling songs in culture of all cultures. You just got engaged. Tell us how the story of how you proposed to Heather Cook, your fiance. We have to hear this love story. First of all, how did you meet? And then how did you propose to her?
So actually, I did go to Colorado Christian University. I actually just had my last class today. So hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus, for getting me through 4 years of school, of college. We actually met in our student union building, the student union building that is no longer there. It looked like a trailer a little bit, but we called that our student union building. And so I think it was my friend group that approached her first. And I had a friend of mine, and we both thought it would be funny to give fake names. So I gave a fake name. It's a little dumb, but I gave her the name Markel, and she thought my name was Markel for a while. And then when she found out my name was Tyler, she didn't want to talk to me for a little bit. So we got started great, right on the right foot there. But my sophomore year, I was a co-lead for one of the chapel teams at CCU. I led alongside one of my very good friends, and she just so happened to be on my team. And so we had interactions through that for the entire year. And I actually thought that she had a thing with one of my friends, and so I kind of labeled her as off limits and really didn't think of her in that way. And then I guess it was August of 2016, I get a message on Facebook, and it was her. And I had no idea what to do with it, but I just said, what the heck, I'll just text her back anyway. So I messaged her back. And once we started talking, I think there was kind of we both had this kind of internal thing where we realized that we both had crushes on each other, but really didn't think that it would turn into anything. And you know, in my mind, I didn't think anything would happen, but less than 6 months later, here we started dating. And so really, really crazy how life works out for you, you know, being on the chapel team together, not seeing each other in that way, all of a sudden, a year and a half later, you know, dating. And so I guess the story of the way I proposed, we had our second date up at Evergreen Lake. If you guys haven't been up to Evergreen Lake, I totally suggest you guys do it. It's a beautiful, beautiful little town up there, and a beautiful lake, great trails to go hiking. And I mean, you have to get out into the Colorado mountains every once in a while. And that's definitely a place I would suggest. But we had our second date there. We went to Bojo's Pizza, and
nice.
Then we went.
I love that place. And you know, and they have the crust at the end where you dip it in the honey.
And dip it in the honey.
Oh my gosh!
So good.
So good.
So good.
So good.
And so she had never had Bojo's, so I took her up there for our second date, and
nice.
We loved it. And then we walked around the lake a little bit. But when I was coming up with places to propose, I couldn't think of anything. And really, I had to do some digging to figure out like what we've done in the past, and how I can implement that into our engagement story. And so, you know, as I said earlier, I was adopted. And the day that my parents adopted me was on March 13th of 1996. And so March 13th is kind of a half birthday for me. My family celebrates it like a half birthday. And so to justify both of my parents, my mom and my stepdad, being there with the camera, was to just pass it off as an adoption day photo shoot. We're going to take photos with the family as a family. It'd be the last one that's the last adoption day potentially that'd be in the house. And so we just decided to mark it as that. Wow. And so we got up to Evergreen Lake and we went to the Evergreen Lake house. And there was a little spot right next to the house that was a little dock area. And so I took pictures with my mom, with my dad first, and then I took pictures with my mom. And then when I started taking pictures with Heather, about four pictures in, I winked at my mom and she winked back at me. And that's when I got down on one knee and that's when I proposed. And, it was a crazy moment. My heart was pounding out of my chest. I'm sure people who've engaged, guys that I proposed, have had the same feeling, same sensation. But
yeah,
once it was all said and done, there were tears of joy and we were celebrating. And yeah, we went and celebrated at Bojo's, a perfect capper. So
that's awesome, man. And that was 4 weeks ago.
March 18th was about 4 weeks ago.
Yeah, man. So it's all pretty fresh still.
It's still pretty fresh.
Yeah, life is changing a lot, man. I think about my own life as I was finishing Bible college. At this time in your life, I was getting ready to move to Nashville, Tennessee to be a video producer at Word Records. And yeah, that's a crazy time of life. It's an exciting time of life. it's your footloose and fancy free. Anything can happen.
Absolutely.
The world is your oyster, you know, nothing but blue skies in front of you. So we're excited that you're on the team. And we got a whole bunch of teenagers that are going to be here in the house tonight. And it's going to be an awesome time. Last week during youth group, I was upstairs with my wife having a dinner and just sitting down. And I could hear the teenagers all worshiping on the floor below. And I'm like, man, this is what it's about, man. We love hosting and listening to people worship in our house, you know, and just hearing voices of people worship echo through the rafters, man. That's awesome. And I know you love Jesus and you preach the gospel, you tell people about the good news. And so we're just excited to have you on the team, man.
Well, thanks. It's a lot of fun. I've had fun so far, and I can't imagine anything changing. Yeah, if you're a teenager or you know teenagers, or if you have children that are teenagers yourself, please feel free. I'm sure Wayne will tag me in this live feed. And so if you guys want to add me or message me on Facebook, I'd love to talk to you. And if you ever come to our church, Summit Church of Castle Rock, we meet at Castleview High School in the auditorium at 10:30 on Sunday mornings. If you're ever there and have questions for me, feel free to approach me and talk to me. I love meeting new people. I love people in general, but I love meeting new people and getting to know them and their stories. And I'd love to answer any questions that you guys have.
That's awesome. Thank you. And so tonight, 6:30, I know time is wasting. That's only like 44 minutes away. I know you got a lot to do. I gotta leave you alone so you can go buy the pizza and get everything ready for the sermon tonight. But God bless you guys. Thanks for watching. And if you have any other needs that you might want to talk about tonight, contact me, PastorWayneH@mac.com. You can call the church office at 303-524-4000. Otherwise, I will connect with you guys tomorrow for the Wayne Feeds Daily Podcast. God bless you. Have a good evening.